So if you will turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you ask me the title for this short message, it is So Great a Salvation. So Great a Salvation. Reading from the New King James, and it's on the screen. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look into. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this verse, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give an earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So great a salvation. Do you possess this great salvation? In the eternal council, in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit agreed that the Lord Jesus Christ would become man. And he would come incarnate to dwell among us and to provide deliverance, salvation, deliverance. And so the Father conceived our great salvation. The Son achieved it. Father conceived it. The Son achieved it. The Spirit enabled us to receive it. God conceived it. Son achieved it. And the Spirit allowed us to receive it. God is the author of so great a salvation. The Son was employed to effect the result or to bring about so great a salvation. You think about it. And this is the ABC of Christianity. Mankind sinned. And therefore, the Lord says, the soul that sinneth shall die. So therefore, condemnation, the judgment of God was upon mankind. But God, who is love, in love, sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us. I think we who possess this so great a salvation can join with me and says, amen. Hallelujah. In Titus chapter 1, you don't have to turn to it, but the writer says, some profess to know God. Profess, or they say they know God. But in works, they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified from every good work. So salvation was purchased by God for us. He that believeth on the Son hath life. It is would be a shame if every one of us who gathered together Sunday after Sunday, that there could be one who do not possess this so great a salvation. And so the question is asked immediately, what must I do to be saved? And the answer is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so, Peter, in writing, he says in verse 3 of chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we are called to bless God for this so great a salvation. I read in verse 18 of the same chapter, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and blemish. Saints, it is a wonderful thing to have this so great salvation. You listen every day, and just from the notices, all we hear is, he died, she died. What a tragedy it is for one to die without so great a salvation. So Peter says that we should rejoice in trials, troubles, sickness, death. Rejoice for this great salvation that God has provided for us. Not only has he given us a great salvation, but in verse 4 it says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Therefore, not only do we have this so great salvation, but God has prepared for us an inheritance. Wow. He has prepared an inheritance for us. and he's also prepared us for the inheritance. We are kept by God. Now, for the little time, I want to say that I was a little stunned. When you read verse 10 of the chapter we read, this salvation, prophets have inquired, searched carefully. And I said to myself, do you think that Moses, Abraham, Daniel, all these great prophets knew not of this so great salvation? They were saved, but they did not understand this so great salvation. Now, the Bible says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, was in them, testifying of Christ and his suffering, death, and resurrection. Have you ever did a jigsaw puzzle? All the pieces are together, and they ask you to put it together. It's very difficult if you do not have the picture. So here these prophets, they were writing about the Lord Jesus Christ. They had the various testimony by the Holy Spirit, and yet they could not understand, they could not put together the pieces for this puzzle. I dare say that we as Christians today, we have the picture, as we will see later. And so, having had the picture, we can put together, or we can go back to the Old Testament to see how Christ fits in the Old Testament. Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, said to his disciples, look at the books of the Bible. Moses, the prophets, Psalms, they all testify of me. But here their prophets are writing, the Spirit is in them, and they're writing, but they do not understand this so great salvation. They wanted to know, first, they wanted to know, and they search, investigate carefully and probe. In fact, they investigate and search their own writings, and also the writings of other prophets and psalmists. What do they want to know? First, salvation is by grace. Your salvation is not something you can purchase. It is not something that you deserve. Salvation is by grace. God did for you what you could not do for yourself. So here are these prophets writing. And they're writing and asking the question, who is the Messiah? Who is the Messiah? And you know that while the Lord Jesus is revealed in the Old Testament, the incarnation is where we actually see and know the Lord Jesus. But not only did they want to know who it was, but they also want to know what time would this event happen? When would the Messiah come? This they wanted to know. And so they searched, they inquired, but God had never revealed to them. And listen to this. God told them, what you're writing is not for yourself. It is for another generation, another time. Before between the Genesis and Malachi, all the information written was about Christ, but was not revealed until the incarnation. 400 years lapsed between the writings of Malachi and the writing of the Gospels. So, this puzzle is there, and the prophets want to know who and when. They also were told that the Messiah would suffer. And you get a glimpse of this as the writers wrote. Psalms 22 writes about his suffering. In fact, Genesis 3 in verse 15 says that the Messiah would be bruised, but he would bruise the serpent's head. So, in the beginning, we're told the Messiah is going to suffer. Might I say, there is no salvation without suffering. As we saw this morning and remembered the Lord Jesus Christ in his suffering, death, and resurrection. So the prophets search. Now, if you notice, in verse 12, at the end of the prophetical writings came the writings of the apostles. So the prophets prophesied or foretold of this great salvation. The apostles reported of this great salvation. And how they did it? First, they were with the Lord Jesus Christ when he was on earth. John says that we beheld him, we touched him, and we had supper with him. So the Old Testament prophets, they were not cheated. They were just brought about to write the prophecies that would be fulfilled in a later time. The apostles wrote in all the gospel, in the gospels, in the epistles, and if you notice, early Acts, when the apostles wrote, they always referred to the Old Testament. Stephen, and even the Ethiopian eunuch, they all referred to the Old Testament. In fact, there was no New Testament. But as the apostles wrote, we got together and combined the New Testament. So our great salvation was such a great salvation that the prophets inquired about it. The apostles reported or wrote about it. The Spirit who was in them, the Spirit of Christ who was in the apostles and the prophets, he guided them in their writings. So what we're reading is really men who were moved by the Holy Spirit wrote as they were directed. Now, prophets, curious, apostles, they saw it. But then the Bible says in chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, things which angels desire to look into. This so great a salvation. Notice this. The angels are in heaven with God. They have seen his great wisdom in creation. They have seen, in fact, they're there in reverence and in worship. That should satisfy them. However, they were so curious about this so great a salvation. How could God, who is just, allow men who are sinners to be brought into fellowship with himself? They're curious. Angels, they proclaimed the birth of the Lord Jesus. They were there with him at Gethsemane. They were with the Lord. They strengthened him. And yet, in all of this, they were very curious about this so great salvation. Because you have this so great salvation, Peter says you should gird the lions of your mind. You should be sober. You should rest your hope to the end. In Hebrews chapter 2, the writer says that first to the Christians, you who have this so great salvation, take heed lest you forget. Take heed lest you forget. How could you forget this so great salvation? Because we're not walking as we ought. So he says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away, or they, the word of God, drift from us. And then he's talking to those who are not Christian, those who are not born of God. He says, God conceived this great salvation. Christ paid it by suffering, death, crucifixion. He said, if God does all of this, how shall you escape? How shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? If you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God in love and mercy has provided a way of escape. You've heard, no man comes to the Father but by me, the Lord Jesus. It is not about the life you live, whether you lived it and you were good and you prayed. This is about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. The warning is, do it now. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Do not trifle with God. And so, those in Zoom or telephone, or those sitting in the audience, do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Do you possess this so great salvation, which the angels were so curious about, the prophets wrote about, the apostles wrote? God has prepared for us something that we need when we leave this world, and that is to be born again. So, I say to you, God wants to save you. Looking for it. God wants to save you. He will save you. Only trust him now. May God bless this short message, and may we see the fruit. That is, if you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, please accept him today. Amen.